Welcome to the Chess Boxing Podcast with me, the Grievous Bodily Farmer. Today we've got Matt Crazy Arms Reed.
Hello.
And we've got a very special guest on the podcast. We've got Tim Hippo Woolgar. Let's say that hippo.
Is that really a hippo? That sounded more like sort of like an angry sort of, you know, sort of border collie or something.
What do you mean a special guest? I am the podcast.
You are the podcast. I thought the hippo was good. Yeah, the hippo's been improving every time you've done it.
Well, yeah. He's been certainly working on his bulk. So he's really got the hippo down in terms of girth.
No, he's slimmed down. What are you talking about?
I'm in great shape right at the moment. Best shape of my life.
That statement only works because it's a podcast. If this was actually a video, you would soon find out that the hippo truly is hippo-esque.
Okay, Matt, okay.
No, I'm going to back Tim up here. He's looking svelte.
I'll lay down a chess boxing challenge to you, Matt. What should we go for? A triathlon type of deal?
How's about March the 16th? You know, catch your weight, 85 kilos? You must be, if you're svelte, you can't be far away from it.
I'll get down to 90 for that, yeah, if you want. I'll meet you at 90.
Listeners, get down to 90 is what he just said. That implies that he's higher than 90 kilos. That's about 14 stone, 40
yeah, but
and
I'm
stone.
6 foot two, and an athletic guy. Build, you know.
4 inches shorter than me, and yeah, but you're 15 a, well, kilos heavy.
You're an etiolated string Matt? Bean, aren't you, Matt? That's the problem with you.
Do you think you get up to 85?
I can get up to 85, that's no problem. Okay. I suppose the Tem could get down to 85.
I could go to 85, but it'll be
excellent.
Hot.
March the 16th, you've heard it here, St. Paddy's Day bash. I'm taking on Tim the Hippo Woolgar.
You really don't want to meet me at 85. I mean, if I get to 85, I will be in killer shape.
I think you'll get destroyed, Matt. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
All this is motivation.
All right, it's on.
Okay, excellent.
Okay, well, it's on the podcast. It's official now. Everyone knows about it.
Yep.
All the hundreds and millions of people that listen to this will be holding you to account now.
Yep. It's only Tim you have to hold to account. I always turn up.
That's true. You have been training hard recently, Matt. Actually.
Very hard.
It's definitely crazy arms, not lazy arms.
Thank you.
Crazy arms or lazy arms?
Okay. I owe you a naked walk in Marylebone Station, don't I?
Do you? What was that?
I will do that. Unfortunately.
I don't know.
Just for listeners who don't know, Tim and I would normally go for a traditional Friday after work drink at the V&A pub, which is in Marylebone train station. And this was going on 2016. Donald Trump got elected as president. Neither of us are Donald Trump fans. Tim was claiming that within a year of his inauguration, he would be impeached. Although I wanted to see a Donald Trump impeachment, as I still do, I didn't believe that, you know, justice would turn that quickly or swiftly. Mm. I bet against him. My stake was that I would pay for a meal out at the swankiest restaurant in London that Tim could find.
And I know some good ones.
Yeah,
you do.
It was a sort
you're a high roller, aren't you?
£300-400 budget for two of us to have a dinner.
Yeah.
But Tim, on the other hand, if he lost the bet, would have to strip naked. Well, boxer shorts or briefs would be allowed. A sandwich board over the top.
That's a cop out. Tim, you wouldn't do that. You'd go full naked, wouldn't you?
I would have fulfilled the terms of the agreement, yes. And the only reason I didn't was because I unfortunately had to be out of the country at the time when the bet fell due, and I've only just returned. So, you know, I missed the opportunity, but I owe it to you. I will do it.
Maybe on Saturday. You know, maybe between the second
and
third.
It's a little bit cold at the moment, though. We're in early December.
It's nice and warm in the Boston Dome.
You get the sandwich board, I'll do the walk. That's all I'll say. I mean, I'm betting on your inability to get a sandwich board together, actually.
Excellent. That sounds like the challenge. Okay.
Something that Matt mentioned while we're just having a little bit of breakfast after training today was that you were both on Eggheads.
Yeah, BBC Two. Well, BBC
One. What do you mean we were both on Eggheads? I was a captain of the Victoria's Eggheads team, yeah.
Okay, you were captain?
I was team captain.
Who else was on the team?
It was myself, Tim, Rajko Vujatovic, who was a long-term chess boxing participant in terms of the classes, but he was also our referee. And he also wrote the first ever chess boxing rule book and the first ever chess boxing manual. So Ryko's a bit of a legend in chess boxing.
For our international listeners, can you explain what Eggheads is?
So Eggheads is a quiz programme. It's on, I think, most weekdays.
Daytime television, is it?
Sort of mid-afternoon, late afternoon, around about 5, 6
It is
o'clock.
One of the hardest quiz shows to win on, isn't it, I would say, because you're up against five quiz, basically pub quiz champions. Or
Okay. Yeah, so you've got brains. You've got Brains of Britain, Mastermind Champions. You've got the lady that was the first to win $1 million on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
How the hell did you guys
Judith
win?
Keppel.
Then?
Well,
what do you mean? How the hell did we win? Because we're
guys
good.
Are idiots. No.
Okay, so what happened was we started off, and Tim.
Well, no one needs to know all the details. Just say we won. That's it.
Okay, but the way that we won was epic.
You missed out because basically, if you'd been on the show before, there was
29 grand was
so basically each time no one wins that it gets added to the pot and it builds up.
A bit
like the national lottery roller.
Yeah, we were one game short of winning by
29 grand.
Well, yeah.
In the end, we took £2,000, split it five ways, got £400 each, which wasn't bad. We got a free night in Glasgow. And
say anything about that. What happens in Glasgow stays in Glasgow.
Somebody got knocked out of their room naked, is all I'm going to say.
Right.
They went to use the
bathroom. And it wasn't you. No. And it wasn't Ryko.
Got up at 3 a.m, went to use the bathroom. Yeah. Got confused of which door was which. Locked themselves
my God.
Out. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, what a story.
We had a good time, though. We also did Know It Alls, which was another sort of quiz program around about the same time with Giles Bredriff.
Was that called Know It Alls, or was it called Brain something?
No, it's called Know-It-Alls.
Was it called Know-It-Alls?
Yeah.
Okay. That was
Giles Brandreth.
That was a great format, though.
Yeah.
Okay. But it never caught on.
No, we won our first match against a group of teachers, and then we got destroyed by...
No, we won several matches, and then we lost one game, because part of this process of the Know-It-Alls format was you had to rely on your team members for information.
And we know that Matt's very reliable.
Yeah, so he told me with 100% certainty that Peking duck was not made from duck.
Yeah, I got confused there. Bombay duck was what
Bombay
I was saying.
Yeah, Bombay duck is not made from duck. And I
no,
said,
was it Peking duck's made from fish?
No, Bombay duck is made from fish.
All right, okay, I still don't know this.
And so I had to give a dissertation on food to Jay Rayner.
Yeah, that's very Claire Rayner's son, who's a very famous chef.
Everyone knows who Jay Rayner is, and one of my heroes. And so, and I confidently said, "Yeah, of course." And one thing I can tell you about Peking duck: the more facts you could get out about the subject, the more.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Okay, you get more points.
I had to talk to a travel expert called Simon Calder, who writes an awful lot of sort of holiday reviews, hotel sort of stuff. Travel expert, basically. I'd give him a dissertation on Rome. And luckily, Tim and my friend Ben, who was on the team as well, helped me out with a huge lot of facts.
Yeah, exactly. I
looked amazing.
So basically, it's all about your support.
Yeah.
So you look great, and everyone else made a massive cock up because you've given them the wrong information.
Yeah.
but what I learned from that was that when someone, i.e. Matt, tells you that they're 110% certain about something, you're at best, give that a 50-50.
Okay, understood. So we should probably talk about the big fight that's on this evening or early tomorrow morning. What is that, Matt?
The bronze bomber.
So we've got the bronze bomber, which is Deontay Wilder, who's an American. I think his record at the moment is 40 wins, with 39 of those 40 wins coming via knockout.
Wow.
He's undefeated, so he's got the zero. And he's against Tyson Fury, who's a little bit older, a little bit younger at 29 years old. He's got 27 wins. Most of them inside the distance, but he recently took 3 years out of the sport. He had a 2-year doping ban that was backdated, mental health issues that were quite well documented.
Bit of a wild child.
Then he put on 10 stone. So the man got up to 28 stone. Bear in mind, he is 6'9". So 28 stone does not look ridiculous on a man that's 6'9". He's knocked off 10 of those stones.
It's still 14 stone for a man 3'6", isn't it?
Yes, exactly.
It's quite big.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. 3'4.5". Yeah. It's an interesting one. Fury has basically been inactive in the last 3 years. He's had 2 tune-up fights against people that, to be honest, probably wouldn't even grace a chess boxing ring. Their ability is pretty shocking. And now he's expecting to basically try and become world heavyweight champion again.
Because my understanding of Fury is he doesn't throw a lot of punches. He seems to sort of, I don't know, he's got conserve energy.
Yep.
And I'm not sure he's going to be able to do that against
Wilder. I was quite surprised. He's got some skills, but... because I didn't really rate him when he was in the run-up to the bout against
Klitschko.
But after that, I had to say, he has got boxing skills.
Oh, yeah,
however, Deontay Wilder is a very heavy hitter. And, I'm pretty sure that he will catch Tyson Fury. And when he does, Tyson Fury has been put on his backside before. So
a number of times, actually. Certainly earlier in his career. I think most recently, Steve Cunningham put him on the floor. And he was only a blown-up cruiserweight, which is basically quite a light person that basically bulks up to heavyweight as opposed to being a natural heavyweight.
Do you think Deontay Wilder really is as aggressively mental as he comes across in interviews, or is
no,
that part of
his act? I think it's like Tyson Fury. They both like playing the Joker.
Okay.
But I don't think that the power is an act. I think the power is absolutely natural. He's probably got the most devastating right hand, but with very little technique, in that it comes through with huge amounts of power, but it's telegraphed. You can sort of see it coming a mile off. So I think in the early rounds, Fury should be able to dodge it, duck it, weave it, bob it, block it. It's whether the later rounds, if Wilder gets one through, I think
I disagree. I think Wilder's a lot more skilled than you give him credit for, and I'm pretty sure that he will. You know, yeah, he does throw those big haymaker punches, but only once the guy's
on the ropes,
semi-incapacitated.
Yeah.
But he works his way into that position. So,
even though I say he hasn't got much technique, bear in mind he did win the bronze medal at the Olympics in 2008, so he can't be that bad.
Mm.
Nobody wins any form of Olympic medal unless they're really at the top of their game. Mm. So you've got to put that into perspective.
Well, sounds like an interesting matchup. Anyway, unfortunately, it's about going to happen about 5 a.m, isn't it?
Yeah, so it's happening at the Staples Center in Los Angeles. So that's far west coast of America. Time difference is about 8 hours. So it will start at their time at about 8:30 to make it still a convenient time for those in New York. But for us, 4:30, 5 a.m.
Yeah.
So it's either stay up really late or basically set your alarm and get up really early. Two options.
Where is the you know, the money and power in this fight residing? I would say
in America, yeah,
on the Wilder side.
How do you mean the power and the money? I don't understand this.
Well, why is it in America?
Why is it in America? Why is it at a Staples Center? Why?
I mean, to be honest, it should be in England, for the reason that Fury is a huge person in boxing terms over here, and Wilder's got a lot of name recognition. Actually, in America, he's kind of anonymous, so he hasn't got the brand recognition.
No, that's
the
right.
The problem is that
if Wilder he wins, it will be a disaster for the promoters.
But if Wilder basically is the champion, and Fury has been out of it for so long, he needed a way back in. Wilder offered him this opportunity, so you've basically got to fight in his backyard. Realistically, the winner of this fight, if Wilder wins, Fury might exercise the option of a rematch, because that's in the contract.
Okay.
Both of them have a rematch clause. However, if Wilder wins, I can just see it going straight to an AJ bout, and that's where the interest is. Because AJ is literally the golden boy of British boxing, world boxing. Again, another undefeated
fighter. Anthony Joshua,
you're
talking about.
Anthony Joshua,
local,
the AJ.
Local lad from
Watford. Well, his name's Watford,
is
it?
He's a Watford boy.
Okay. Don't call him Hackney.
He's been in the gym, hasn't he?
Yeah. Tim's been photographed with him. He's attended a chess boxing session, more by accident than design, but you know, he likes getting his hair cut nearby and popped in.
Okay, that's great. I caught up with one of the fighters during the week, your opponent actually, Max Gershfield.
Max, yep.
Max Jock Talk Gershfield. Do you want to have a little listen about what he had to say?
I'd love to, yes.
Yeah,
Max.
Yeah, I'd like to hear what Max has got to say.
Max, how have you been? Very good, thank you. Very good. Recovered my dignity and hopefully some of my physicality after the defeat of earlier this year to Toby White.
How did you find Toby? He's quite a difficult character in the ring, isn't he?
When it came to fighting Toby, I showed up at the venue in Norwich, and he was drinking Lemsip, and it was almost kind of like sharking tactics there, because he said he was really ill drinking Lemsip, and I was like, oh, I've got this in the bag. Then he whipped his top off, and I describe him as looks like an extra from Hornblower or something. He's kind of got like sailor like sailor physique, but he was also unbelievably aggressive, and so I was no match actually in terms of pure boxing skill. So he definitely gave me a thrashing. And actually fractured a rib.
That's quite common to have a cracked rib though after even not a very tough fight, I think.
What do you do, Max? I work in advertising. I'm a creative. I'm currently working at Uber HQ. I'm basically a writer. It's nice living in Amsterdam, where there's quite a large need for English speaking copywriters, and that I've always, you know, been English, so that's
always been English. Because originally when I first heard about you, Tim told me that you were called Jock Talk because you were Scottish, which turns out to be completely not
true. I
didn't realize that your nickname Jock Talk is related also to, well, I presume, the fact you're a disc jockey, is it?
Actually, that's not quite the case, but I'll explain. So Jock Talk is an alter ego that I've had since my university days. In university, I ran a hip hop night for about 4 years, and I also got very into making electronic music. So I was producing music under the moniker Jock Talk. And you're
coming out to your theme tune. Presumably that's something that you've created, is it? Or are you going to pick something else?
It could be. I haven't quite figured it out yet. As a sort of music lover, I give it quite a lot of thought. My first entrance track was Heaven is a Place on Earth by Belinda Carlisle, because it just had quite a sort of nice aesthetic. Yeah. I made a couple myself. That's okay. Always a nice moment is coming out into the ring. Jock Talk was me tapping into sort of 1980s zeitgeist of high school jocks. So it's more about the fact that I've always been a bit of a jock. So at school, I was, you know, as a rugby player and athletics guy. And at university, I said that there's not enough jocks. If you look over at American,
there's not enough jocks.
Yeah.
It's quite a dangerous thing to proclaim yourself as a jock, isn't it?
Oh, right, exactly. Someone had to. So
open to criticism there, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. But that's the thing, is that I also add talk at the end. So like I'm mostly just talking a big game. And like, you know,
where I'm
deficient, you know, I'll let my audience be the judge, but it's usually done with a bit of tongue in cheek. I mean, I'm just really into just like the 1980s, like the letter jacket wearing crews of like jocks who are like, you know, like bully nerds and like take their lunch money and give
Back to the Future.
Back to the Future kind of style. I'm actually my corner man in the for this upcoming fight has bankrolled whole sort of outfit for me.
I'm a little worried that your preparation is not overly balanced towards training. It seems to be more about creating the perfect outfit, creating music, montage videos to promote yourself and intimidate your opponent.
Wow. So I'll be coming out with Jock Talk shorts, and on the back there's a little sign saying wedgie proof.
So Max, you've got all your kit that's all sponsored, you're all ready to go. Have you got all the other ancillary equipment? Presumably you've already got a jock strap, given your name.
Actually, funnily enough, as even though my name is Jock Talk, I have never worn a jock strap.
I would have thought your mate would have included that on his list. He could have got branded with jock strap.
You would have thought that, yeah. He could potentially have actually just branded it with just Talk on the front. No jock needed. We'll see about that. But I won't be showing anyone that in the event anyway. So you just have to take my word for that I'm wearing it. That my tackle is well looked after, so future jocks from my lineage can there's lots of nerds out there that need bullying, and I imagine in the future there will be just as many, if not more.
There'll be plenty at the chess boxing, I can tell you that.
That's true. So you guys watch out, because Jock's coming for you, all of you.
Okay, so what do you think about that,
that's,
mate?
That's hilarious.
He's quite down on the nerd. I don't know if that's specifically a reference to you or.
To be honest, I take that as a dig at me. I mean,
he's having a right go at you, man.
I mean, he's
making a fool of you.
He's basically disparaging my people. I am king of the nerds.
You're king of the nerds.
King of the nerds. But I mean, as it says in the Bible, the geek will inherit the earth, and I firmly believe in this.
So it's jock versus nerd. The time old. Conflict.
I was about to say this is going to be a clear case that brains triumph over brawn.
Well, I think Max is pretty good at chess, though.
He may be quite good at chess, but I am literally the master when it comes to playing good, consistent, error-free chess under the lights with the noise blaring, the headphones on. I will be the one that comes out triumphant.
But you're not infallible, are you, after your last showing was really...
I didn't lose. I didn't lose. That was a draw in the chess, but I must admit...
Yeah, somehow he ruffled you, though.
Put it into a draw, but you were playing against a guy rated, you know, about 400 points beneath you.
I know. But then again, you know, sometimes you've got to have a little waiver to get yourself back on track. So that was a wake-up call.
That was the Frenchman. Yeah. It meant a lot to him, actually.
Do you think you were slightly complacent going into that last fight?
I was complacent because I felt I could handle him on the boxing and I'd just take him on the chess. And it's true, I did handle him on the boxing. He was the better boxer, but he wasn't in danger of going for the knockout.
Yes.
But then he just played better chess than I was expecting. I tied myself up into knots. I had to return a lot of the material I'd won in the earlier part of the game just to be active and to give myself a chance of winning. And actually, in the end, I had to struggle to hold the draw.
Mm.
So it wasn't my finest hour. It was supposed to be my retirement fight. Because of such a poor showing, I'm always going to be a crowd pleaser. If you don't please the crowd, you've got to go back.
Yes, that's good to hear. We're just talking about world championships and fights and so on. We have just got a result in the World Chess Championships, haven't we? I did follow a remove on YouTube, and it was excellent. I thought it was good. There were some good games.
Yeah, I was about to say Simon Williams' commentary was undoubtedly the best.
Well, it went down to the shootout, didn't it? Whatever you what's that term that you use?
Playoffs. The playoffs was basically four games of rapid play, and if that was still tied at the end of the four games, they were going to go into blitz.
So when we say rapid play, what? How many minutes on the clock?
25 minutes for all of your moves, plus a bonus 5 seconds for every move you complete. So every time you make a move, 5 seconds gets added to your clock.
And then blitz.
Blitz, I think, was
5 minutes, wasn't it?
No, it's 3 minutes plus 2 seconds a move, which
is
the equivalent. But it's the equivalent of 5 minutes without the increment, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
So what I'd say was, so basically the match was played over classical time controls, which is, I think, 2 hours for the first 30 moves and then 30 minutes plus 30 seconds a move thereafter, something along those lines.
I think over the classical time control, Carlsen showed moral victory sort of material, didn't he? Wouldn't you have said?
So basically, 12 games, all 12 games were drawn. I mean, this is, from a spectator's standpoint who were looking for blood and checkmates, this was dull. Mm. However, if you drill down into those draws, they were hard fought.
Mm-hmm.
Caruana had to battle back to save a draw. Carlsen then had to battle back to save his draw,
mm-hmm.
depending on who was white, who was black. Actually, black had the better of it.
Most
games. Hence normally
the draws,
it's what. Yeah, exactly. So the draws were exciting.
The new white, isn't it?
Yeah. Is that
right? I think it was the orange and the new black. So anyway, so we got to the end of the 12-game series. They had a day off just to recuperate, and then they came back on Wednesday of this week, and they played 4 rapid play games, or they were supposed to, but Carlsen won the first one as black, won the second one as white, which then meant he was 2-0 ahead with only 2 to play, so all he needed was a draw in the third game, and he won that as well.
I think Caruana had a winning position at one point, you know, game and move 40 or something, didn't he? But he blew it.
It sounds like Caruana bottled it.
I wouldn't go that.
I would say bottled it because
Carlsen is probably the best ever player in chess history.
Yeah,
better than you, Crazy Arms, Matt Reed.
What? I haven't seen Carlsen actually play under the lights, or in a ring, or with gloves on.
That's true, yeah.
So actually, it's not really, it's like comparing apples and oranges. So I wouldn't necessarily say he's better.
Mm.
But in terms of classical chess, there's a number of theories or a number of reasons why he is seen as the greatest of all time. So he's won his title once and then defended it 3 times. So he's a 4-time world champion. Mm-hmm. He's had the biggest gap between first place in the ratings list in second place. He's been world number one for 102 months, which I think is about 8 years, 6 months. That's a long time.
Mm-hmm.
He's won more classical tournaments than anybody else in recent times.
He's had the highest chess grade ever, over 3,000. I think he's one of the only ones.
He's had 3,000 blitz rating. He's had a 2,900 something performance in classical chess. He is and he's dominating all 3 versions of the sport. So we have classical chess, which is the long form of the game.
And he's still only 24.
I know.
Wow, he's 24.
Yeah.
Oh, wow, that is amazing.
I know, he's still got a few more years ahead of him, because we actually think that chess players only reach their peak in the 30s, which is about the same for heavyweight boxers, so there's a lot of things. So youth is actually not a huge advantage in chess. Mm.
Although chess is changing, because this is one of the features of this tournament, which a lot of commentators observed, was that the supercomputer preparation which the players are using keeps them going so far in a game. So you're seeing like some very high-quality moves up until around move 30, and then, like
they're on their own.
When they go on their own, the game completely changes. You're almost like in terms of the quality of moves that you're seeing coming out. So, and these are guys. I I don't know if they're really using things like AlphaZero to do their preparation.
I think AlphaZero, maybe under a different guise, is certainly featuring.
What is AlphaZero?
It's basically a program that's created by a company called DeepMind, which is owned by Google. They're artificial intelligence specialists.
Mm-hmm.
And what they did was they created a program that was told only what the moves of chess were and the rules.
Mm.
And then it basically just played a series of games against itself. To get better and better and better.
Oh, God.
I don't know. Something like they left it going for about 48 hours and it was already better after 48 hours than the best ever chess computer up to that point.
Oh, my God.
When you think that Stockfish...
That's scary.
So Stockfish is about 3,300 ELO, which is 300 points better than the best ever human performance.
The best Stockfish programs, because obviously you set them to different levels, but the strongest Stockfish can beat any player like
alive.
Why don't they should get these AIs and get them to play each other?
Yeah, so basically,
but they did. That's what they got. They got AlphaZero to play against Stockfish
and then beat it.
Basically, made Stockfish look like a school child, you know?
Yeah, so basically, AlphaZero is 3,600 ELO. So that's basically nearly 1,000 points better than the top grandmasters.
Wow.
It's unbelievable. We're expecting to hear some very big news, some peer-reviewed papers coming out late in December. They didn't want to release that information prior to the World Championships because obviously it does detract from World Championships.
Okay. Yeah, at what point does AlphaZero say there's no point in playing chess anymore, it's a draw?
I think until it loses a game against itself or wins a game against itself, until it can stop doing that and it's all of the games are drawn, at that point I think you've basically found something that can't lose. But it can still beat itself, so it does show that there are ways to win.
Does it always win with white and always lose with black?
No.
Sometimes it beats itself with black.
Really?
Absolutely. So the other thing to say is that the World Championships was between Magnus Carlsen from Norway and Fabiana Caruana from America.
Mm.
Now, we've got a slight break for a week, and then just after our event on Saturday the 8th of December, and so next Saturday, the London Chess Classic starts, and Fabiana Caruana, who was the losing challenger in the World Chess Championships, will be playing in London. So Fabiana Caruana will be coming back to town, and London Chess Classic will be basically a four-player sort of tournament featuring four of the best grandmasters in the world, including former world champions. So, worth coming to watch.
Okay.
Is it worth coming to the show, by the way, on December the 8th, if you haven't got a ticket yet?
I'm glad you mentioned it. Yeah, there'll be a very, very limited tickets on the door.
What time do they go on sale?
They will be going on sale. Doors are at 6 o'clock, so, yeah.
I guess it's always worth giving it a try, because if there's capacity at the event, if some people have left or whatever, you may be able to get in.
Yeah, that's right. So the show is on the 8th of December, which is next Saturday. Doors are at 6 o'clock. If you want to get in touch with us, you can get in touch on info@londonchessboxing.com or at @LDNChessBoxing on Twitter.
Yeah, and if you're not coming or you can't use your tickets, let us know, because we can resell them.
And also, if you can't make it because you haven't got a ticket because it's sold out, you can watch it live on Twitch.
Oh, yes.
Which is twitch.tv/London Chess Boxing.
Yeah. So and basically, think about this. If you haven't managed to get a ticket to this event or you've left it too late, what a great idea for a Christmas present.
Buy a ticket for our March show, which is 16th.
16th of March. 16th. Yeah, St. Patrick's Day bash.
Chess boxing tickets are on sale for that show.
Headline event, I've heard, breaking news, Matt Crazy Arms Reed versus Tim the Hippo Woolgar.
So this
is going to be another sellout. So if you are thinking about the must-have Christmas present that basically will put you to the
I'm
top of that
I'm going to slim down
list.
To 85, so I'm going to be the Slippo.
The Slippo.
I'm going to bulk up.
Yeah. We've actually already had quite a lot of interest. I can't name any names, but for some really high-quality chess boxes have already shown interest in fighting in March.
So. I've heard rumours of who they are. Yeah. They are very good.
What do you mean, even more high-quality than me and Matt?
I
think one of your former opponents, actually, is going to try and make a return.
Oh, I know who you mean, yeah. Great, okay. Looking forward to that.
Well, anyways, wrap up now, shall we? So
yeah, 5 bouts next Saturday, so come onto the Twitch stream if you can't be there in person. There's going to be an awful lot of excitement. You can see myself. I will be demolishing Max Jock Talk Gershfield.
Mm-hmm.
And
Nerd versus Jock. Yep.
And don't forget, there'll be a few tickets on the door as well, so don't give up hope.
Okay.
And I'll see you on Saturday.
See you Saturday. Thanks very much, Crazy Arms.
Cheers, Gav.
Thanks very much, Hippo.
Thank you very much.
Thanks very much. See you in a week.